What is beauty? It comes in many forms, of course, but in the world of consumer culture, one of the biggest recent trends is what's known as K-beauty, skincare and makeup products developed in Korea and marketed around the world. The rise of K-beauty raises fascinating economic and cultural questions, questions explored in the new book, Flawless, Lessons in Looks and Culture from the K-beauty Capital by Elise Hugh. Elise is a journalist and podcaster who spent 4 years as the NPR bureau chief in Seoul. Here she is to share 5 key insights from her book.
Hey, y'all, I'm Elise Hugh. I'm a journalist and podcaster who you might know from NPR or TED Talks Daily, where I work behind the mic. I'm so excited to share with you 5 of the key insights from my book, Flawless, Lessons in Looks and Culture from the K-Beauty Capital. Let's get to some of those lessons, okay? Insight 1. South Korea is the dynamic epicenter of global beauty. When I used to think of South Korean exports, my brain would first go to Samsung phones or LG TVs or cars from Kia. But one of the most powerful South Korean exports is culture, K-pop, K-drama, Korean film. And the global transmission of K-culture has meant an always-on advertisement for Korean beauty ideals and the skincare products and cosmetics that Korea makes that claim to help get you to that ideal. South Korea's exports of cosmetics have now surpassed its exports of smartphones. Wild, right? The K-beauty industry is projected to be worth $13.9 billion by 2027, and Seoul leads the world in plastic surgery rates. South Korea has more plastic surgeons per capita than any other place on the planet, and it has the most advanced and developed market for changing our faces and bodies for cosmetic and not medical reasons. No other country comes even close. On the product side, South Korea boasts more than 8,000 cosmetics brands, which is huge for a country that can fit in the space between Los Angeles and San Francisco. The competition means K-beauty companies are constantly exploring new ingredients. Think mugwort or bee propolis or shark liver oil, for example. And they come up with creative packaging, churning out new lines and brands and products faster than competitors in the U.S. and Europe. These days, both Korean women and men are a testing ground and a springboard for innovation. Insight 2. There are 4 global beauty pillars. We all still aspire to 4 basic pillars of external beauty, according to researcher and philosopher Heather Widows, whose work really undergirds a lot of my book. The standards are thinness, firmness, smoothness, and youth. If the body positive movement or just more cultural discourse has been able to widen the standard on one of those aspects, say thinness or youth, the other ideals have stayed firmly fixed. For example, you may now notice more size diversity in shop signage and Victoria's Secret models. But just as fat phobia is becoming more taboo, we're using the same negative language that used to malign cellulite or fat rolls to hold up another beauty pillar. Smoothness. Think about this. Advertising that says something like, get rid of unwanted belly fat now sounds really cringy and awful. But somehow, it's still not cringy to advertise by saying something like, get rid of those unwanted creases or lines in your face. As one global beauty pillar gets more expansive, another pillar, in this case, smoothness, stays fixed or gets more narrow. Insight 3. The technological gaze makes appearance pressure more pronounced. South Korea is one of the world's firstly wired societies, and it's ground zero for making your digitally enhanced avatar a reality. What I mean here is you can graft online effects onto flesh and blood faces. It leads the way in showing not just current beauty ideals, but the new standards that surgeons and the metaverse might inspire, raising questions and concerns about those possibilities. Providers are perfecting injectables, for example, and surgeries to make changes to the physical body, offering biomedical or other innovations to smooth our skin or build or reduce parts of our bodies to fit standardized beauty ideals. So a futuristic South Korea shows us that 2 strains of technology, The visuality that increases self-objectification and self-improvement innovation work together to create a twist on the older notion that women were subjected to a male gaze. The gaze I worry about in Flawless is an internalized technological gaze. It's a self-policing, narcissistic, machine-driven perspective that we use to judge ourselves and others. Whether it's the jet stream of visuals we see on social media, the latest AI-generated filters, or off-label uses of salmon DNA injectables, technological improvements increase A, the expectations to look better, B, the options we have to upgrade our appearance through products and procedures, and C, judgment of one another based on appearance. Insight 4. Beauty culture requires unpaid labor, but we can interrogate that investment. The amount of resources we devote to grooming, primping, nipping, and tucking our way towards some aspirational physical ideal is extraordinary and yet so easily shrugged off as part of everyday life. We should remember it is a lot of work, and it's labor we don't just do for free. We pay to do it. These days, you can also get injected and give yourself at-home light facials, laser therapies of all kinds. That's all costly in terms of energy and money and time. And time is so important because it's a key lever of our freedom. But we can interrogate our investment in beauty work in the same way people are questioning the demands of their jobs and remap our relationship to both in a way that's less draining and anxiety-inducing. We are not individually responsible for tamping down the prevalence of appearance standards at a societal level, but we can each turn down the volume of appearance pressures in our own heads and connect with one another in ways that don't prioritize external appearances first. These choices can have a ripple effect. In Korea, this can mean loving your body like older women, often referred to as ajummas. In a culture largely convinced that an individual's looks determine their value, Korean ajummas care for their bodies in older age in a way that's communal and about spiritual beauty, not standardized beauty. Their wisdom on how to meaningfully care for their bodies and their faces can be applied to all generations. Insight 5. Progress to me looks like opting out of beauty culture and not having to pay a price. We should strive toward a society in which we are all less defined by external beauty. Even though the demands of beauty culture require resources, there are currently enormous social and economic costs to opting out. For example, hundreds of thousands of South Korea's women banded together in 2018 to start the Escape the Corset movement, in which they crushed their compacts and cut off their hair and stopped wearing makeup, taking part in essentially a general strike against appearance labor. Many of them, as a result, lost their jobs and were chastised by their families and even uninvited to gatherings. So we have a lot of work to do. Progress doesn't have to be marked by technological advances and product innovations. Instead, we could see progress as true bodily autonomy and the ability to appear in the world as you want to. And ideally for our external appearances not to matter much at all. How do we get there? Change needs to happen on a wider cultural scale, but that doesn't mean we can't be the change in our own homes and in our own relationships and with our own kids. It means appreciating our bodies for what they can do and feel, rather than what they look like. It means tamping down the scripts that link appearance with worth. I believe that even in the process of reporting and writing this book, I've grown in letting myself off the hook and breaking these very entrenched ideas that I'm not worthy enough when I look in the mirror unless I look better, whatever that means. Imagine the freedom and power that could be unleashed if all of us let go of the notion that we need fixing and instead showed up in the world as our full, flawed, and still worthy selves. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you enjoy the book and join in the wider conversation about these ideas.
Thank you, Elise. That was Elise Hugh with 5 big ideas from Flawless, Lessons in Look and Culture from the K-Beauty Capital. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.